Once upon a time, there was a malicious goblin. And this malicious goblin wanted very much to hurt people and cause chaos throughout the land. So he created a magic mirror. And this mirror only reflected ugliness and meanness. You would never see goodness or beauty in this mirror. This goblin was the headmaster of the troll school, and he and his pupils delighted at the havoc they were spreading. Even the most glorious landscapes looked putrid and decrepit in this ghastly creation. They decided they would take this mirror all the way to heaven so that they could hold it up to the angels and God and make a laughing stock of them. They built a ladder as high as it could go, and then several winged gargoyles carried the mirror as high as they could. But it was hard to carry a mirror that high into the air. Soon, they lost their grip on it. The mirror shattered into millions of pieces, cast far and wide. The wind scattered pieces all over the earth. Sometimes the pieces of glass were no bigger than a grain of sand. People got shards of this mirror in their eyes. Pieces would pierce into their heart. Every time this happened, the person would see only the bad in the world, as if their eyes were the mirror itself and their hearts were blocks of ice. And there was only one way to get it out. And that's all for tonight, children. Lotta yawned. It's late. As the children protested for more stories, the winter wind howled in a snowstorm outside. They didn't notice a ghostly face peering through the window at them, a face of icy fractals and glimmering shards, looking for its next victim. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales. Today I'm sharing the Danish fairy tale, The Snow Queen. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, The Snow Queen involves murder, alcoholism, and treacherous predicaments. Please exercise caution for children under 13. If you want to hear more tales, you can find episodes on your favorite podcast directory. A new episode will release every other Saturday. So if you enjoy it, subscribe. The Snow Queen is known these days as the original version of Frozen, although this is very different than the Disney version. There are no catchy tunes or estranged sisters, but there is still an icy, remote kingdom and a plucky young girl who must save the day. The Snow Queen is one of Hans Christian Andersen's most beloved and enduring fairy tales. It was first published in 1844 and has been adapted into movies, television shows, operas, and ballets. The themes of unconditional love and self-sacrifice still resonate with today's audience. In a small Danish town, there were two lovely children, Kay and Gerda. They lived next door to one another and were the best of friends. Outside of the windows of their homes were rows of flower boxes, and they would climb across these boxes and over the gutters to each other's windows. This way, they didn't even have to walk outside of their homes to meet each other. They were so close that they could have been siblings, and oftentimes people thought they were twins. They had a secret language that confused the other children at school, and each night when they parted ways to go to bed, they exchanged a special handshake they invented that meant, "I love you." Many nights, Kay and Gerda gathered around the fireplace with rosy cheeks and warm milk to hear Kay's grandmother, Lotta, read them stories. One wintry night, Gerda came over and they all gazed out the window at the snowflakes, quietly fluttering to the ground. "Why, look! The snow bees have arrived," Lotta remarked.
"Snow bees?"
Kay was skeptical.
"If those are snow bees, where is their queen?"
I shall tell you. Kay's eyes widened.
There's a Snow Queen?
He asked incredulously.
Indeed, a tall, slender woman, a hypnotic, eerie beauty,
Lotta answered.
I want to meet her,
Kay cried out.
I'll bring her in the house and watch her melt on the stove.
Kay laughed at the thought of melting such a powerful queen. I'm afraid you may not want to meet this queen, his grandmother warned. Gerda and Kay curled up next to Lotta's rocking chair to listen to her tell them the story of the Ice Queen.
The Ice Queen comes wherever the bees swarmed thickest, like on a night like tonight. She looks into the windows for little children to freeze their hearts.
Lotta smiled, teasing the children as their eyes widened in terror. Lotta patted Kay's head and yawned.
All right, I'm going to bed now. You two don't stay up too late now.
We won't,
they chimed in unison. Gerda looked up at the window, her eyes widened in shock.
There she is!
Kay turned to look out the window, and there she was, glittering, like her face was comprised of a million tiny diamonds. Her eyes were an icy blue that was almost transparent. She was ethereal, otherworldly. The two children stared in awe. She regarded them coldly. Suddenly, she pursed her lips and blew an icy breeze. It fogged up the window until Kay and Gerda could no longer make out her high cheekbones and shimmering crown of ice. They instinctively moved closer to the window. Suddenly, she blew more forcefully and the windows flew open. Snow flew into the room. Gerda and Kay covered their eyes and fell back as the cold, icy blast shocked them. Gerda pushed through the torrent of frigid wind to the window and closed it shut. They both stood there shivering, trying to make sense of what had just happened. The snowflakes settled into the floor, disappearing as quickly as they arrived. But two little snowflakes floated down directly to Kay. One landed right in Kay's eye. As he rubbed the cold water away, Gerda watched as the second landed right on his heart. Kay wiped his shirt where the snowflake had melted. Of course, the little piece of snow hadn't hurt, and yet suddenly he felt different. He frowned, suddenly irritable.
Get out of here, Gerda!
He shoved her roughly, and she fell to the floor.
Don't push me, Kay!
She brushed off her hurt feelings and stood up.
Fine. I was tired anyway.
Gerda stormed out of the house. There was no handshake, no hugs. Gerda's eyes stung hot with tears. This had never happened before. As she made her way next door, she peered through the window into the living room, where Kay sat on the floor looking very cross. She had never seen him look like that before. She shook her head and pulled her scarf tighter around her neck. Hopefully, Kay would sleep off that bad mood by the morning. But Kay did not sleep off his foul mood. In fact, it only seemed to grow, and Gerda no longer recognized her friend. In the spring, when the flowers bloomed in their window boxes, Kay insisted that they were hideous and ripped out the roses, knocking over the boxes, spilling soil all over the street. He taunted their classmates, and the other children started to avoid him. Gerda felt bad for Kay. He became ostracized and was forced to eat alone. Every time he saw Gerda, he told her that she was ugly. This hurt Gerda's feelings, but she knew something had happened to Kay. This wasn't like him. And yet the next winter came, and nothing had thawed Kay's icy heart. But that didn't stop Gerda from treating Kay with kindness when she saw him. She no longer tried to spend time with him and played with other children in the village, but she held out hope that he would come back to his old self. One day, as Gerda was heading home with cookies from the Christmas market for her mother, she saw Kay standing in front of his house with a sled. He waved to her.
"Hey, Gerda, come sled with me."
He had a mischievous grin that made her uneasy, but it was always in her nature to give Kay the benefit of the doubt. Gerda agreed and followed him out to a meadow outside the main square that was quilted with the most pristine blanket of snow. Quiet rolling hills, perfect for sledding.
"Get on, Gerda, I'll pull you,"
Kay insisted. Gerda tentatively climbed on the wooden sled, eager to have her friend back, but cautious he might be up to something. No sooner had Gerda sat down than Kay jerked the rope as hard as he could, almost sending her flying off the back of it. Kay clearly wanted to hurt her. He ran fast, changing directions on a whim, so that Gerda was whipped this way and that, always on the verge of tipping over.
"Slow down!" Gerda called,
snow whipping in her face, stinging her. Kay laughed harder when he saw Gerda struggling. He let the rope slacken so that Gerda could catch her breath. Then he snapped the sled hard. Gerda shot off the back of the sled and into the snow. She coughed, mouth full of snow.
"Baby!"
Kay teased over his shoulder, looking at Gerda flounder. Gerda tried to hide her tears as she heard her old friend run away, leaving her shivering in a pile of snow, tears freezing as they slipped down her cheek. Kay couldn't get away from Gerda fast enough. What a loser. She couldn't keep up. She should play with the little kids. Kay ran further into the forest where no one could find him. He hated everyone. He didn't know why. He didn't used to. It was as if before he couldn't see clearly, and now he could. People were ugly, dumb, doing stupid things to please other people. He saw how weak and idiotic it all was. No one understood things the way he did. Finally, exhausted and far away from annoying Gerda, he sat down under the tree cover and rested. He closed his eyes and leaned his head against the strong trunk of a pine. He liked being alone.
"Hello, Kay."
Kay's eyes shot open. Who could possibly have found him out here? He looked up, and peering down at him was the woman he had seen from the window, the Snow Queen. Now that he could see her clearly, he realized she was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. She had a luxurious white fur draped around her. She was in a large sleigh with reindeer pulling it. She beckoned him to come closer with a wiggle of a finger. It was a bit eerie, but Kay didn't care.
"Why, Kay, you look quite cold. Why don't you come warm yourself in this fur? It's much too large for just one thin woman."
She smiled, her teeth glinting as if made of shimmering jewels. He was enchanted with her. He loved her. He wanted her to love him, too. He climbed into her sleigh and cuddled up to the impossibly beautiful fur coat. It was more like a blanket, and for the first time in a long time, he didn't feel irritable or angry.
"Now, are you cold?"
The Snow Queen bent down to kiss his forehead. Kay didn't pull away, even though she was a stranger. He was too far under her spell already. And as she kissed his forehead, an icy blast shot through his skin and made his entire body shiver and tingle. She kissed his forehead a second time, and this time the sensation dissipated, and he felt a warm glow spread through him, relaxing him. He couldn't remember the last time he felt this good. Kay suddenly forgot his grandmother, Gerda, even the sled he was leaving behind on the forest floor. He watched the Snow Queen, completely enthralled by her every gesture, every movement. She was so elegant, a princess carved from ice. Kay didn't even notice as she took him deep into the forest. The snow grew even thicker. The crows screamed in horror. The wolves howled forebodingly. But Kay didn't notice any of it. He was enchanted by the fair queen and didn't notice the passage of time anymore. Even when they arrived at her palace and he watched the cold moon from her balcony at night and slept at her feet during the day, a silent prisoner of her frozen land. We'll continue our journey through the snow after these short messages. And now back to the story. Gerda couldn't believe Kay had been so cruel to her with the sled, trying to make her fall face first into the snow. She was angry he had treated her so poorly, but that anger quickly slipped away over the next few days when Kay did not return home, and no one had seen him since he had run into the forest, mocking her. Gerda had been the last person to see him. People began to assume the worst, that Kay was dead, that Kay had gotten lost in the snow and they wouldn't find his body until spring. These rumors made Gerda feel ill. She combed the snowy forests, calling his name. She cried herself to sleep at night. Her dear friend, a brother to her, had become someone else, and now he had disappeared entirely. Spring came, and even Gerda had given up hope.
"My friend is dead and gone,"
she cried to the sun. "I don't believe it," the sun whispered back, sending a warm tingle down her spine. Gerda went to the sparrows.
"My friend is dead, gone forever,"
she wailed.
"We don't believe it,"
they whispered, urging her to not give up hope. Slightly emboldened by their vague prophecies, Gerda decided to go down to the river one morning, sneaking out of the house at dawn. She took her new red shoes as an offering. Gerda stood boldly before the lapping waves.
"Dear God, I will give you these new red shoes, the finest thing I own, if you will please return my friend Kay to me."
Gerda tossed the shoes and they landed with a splash, but not as far out as she had hoped they would go. The waves delivered them back to the shore as if she had barely tossed them out at all. Determined to make sure they landed squarely in the rapid current so that God could receive her request, she tossed them a second time, this time a little further out. But once again, the shoes came bouncing back towards her, as if carried by a magical force. Gerda thought this was perhaps a sign that Kay wasn't dead after all, but she couldn't be sure. A small boat rested amongst a tangle of reeds, and Gerda hurried over to it. She decided she would hop into it so she could get a better position to throw her shoes again. The boat wasn't fastened, and she pushed it out a few yards from the shore and tossed the shoes behind her. But the boat carried her quickly into the current, and she was unable to keep control of it. Gerda cried for help, but there were only the sparrows chirping, unable to help her. She was quickly swept away. The red shoes bobbed behind her, as if the boat were dragging them along. After an hour of struggling to regain control, Gerda crumbled on the floor of the boat and wept. All hope was lost. But the sweet sparrows followed her, cheering her on, and finally she sat back up and looked along the shores of the peaceful river. The banks were lined with the most beautiful roses, which reminded her of the flower boxes outside of the windows of her and Kay's home.
"Perhaps this river will carry me to Kay if he is still alive,"
she said thoughtfully. After drifting downstream for what must have been hours, she spotted the loveliest cottage in the distance. It had a curved, thatched roof and red and blue-colored shutters, It even had wooden soldiers outside of it, adorable sentinels that gave the place a magical storybook feeling.
"Hello! Hello! Over here!"
Gerda started shouting at the top of her lungs and jumping up and down for someone to notice her. As if wanting her to go there, the boat started drifting towards the shore. The red shoes came along too. Giving up on getting an answer from God, she put them back on. Finally, a woman hobbled out on a crooked stick. Even though she was old, her eyes were alert, and she waved to Gerda with a smile. Gerda hopped out of the boat and raced towards her. The woman was so warm and inviting, it was like Gerda was meeting her grandmother.
"You poor thing,"
cried the woman and bent down to embrace Gerda, which she readily accepted.
"Tossed about on the river, you must be very far from home."
Gerda nodded and looked about her. She was certainly far from home. The woman's garden was like nothing she'd seen. She didn't know so many flower types even existed.
"My name is Agatha. Welcome to my home. Come now, you must be starving,"
the woman insisted. Gerda nodded again. She was. As they made their way back to the house, Gerda pointed to a corner of the garden.
"I love your roses,"
Gerda remarked.
"They remind me of my friend Kay. Have you seen him? I'm on a quest to find him."
"Why, thank you, my dear. And no, I can't say that I have,"
Agatha said kindly. Following Agatha, Gerda didn't notice the roses withering and dying behind her, nor did she notice Agatha's smirk as the last ashy rose crumbled into the earth. Inside the cottage, the sun streamed through the windows in all sorts of colors. Gerda felt like she was walking into a rainbow. Agatha brought forth a large bowl of exquisite-looking cherries. Gerda's eyes widened at the sight of them. She set the bowl on the kitchen table and sat down, motioning for Gerda to do the same. She told Gerda that she worked with all sorts of magical herbs and plants. She could teach Gerda if she would like. Gerda nodded eagerly.
"What a sweet little girl you are," the old sorceress exclaimed. "Looking for your friend with such devotion."
Agatha paused, considering.
"You know, Gerda, I've always wanted a little girl of my own. You should stay with me forever. We shall have tea parties and talk to the flowers in the garden."
Gerda smiled. She was forgetting all about her life outside this enchanted realm. How fun it would be to live in such a fantastical house. That night, Gerda slept in the most comfortable bed ever. When she woke, warm sunshine streamed through a pink window, casting a rosy glow in the room. She had never been so happy.
"Gerda!"
Agatha called for her to come down. She was going to teach her all the names of the flowers. Gerda ran down and spent the morning learning the names of flowers she's never heard of before. Tiger lilies, convolvulus, hyacinths, the list went on. Finally, she wandered in a daze to a corner of the garden, where one single rose lay withered on the ground. And such a sad little rose, it made her feel like Kay must be dead. She began crying, and her tears warmed the earth, suddenly sprouting a multitude of roses back from the dead. The roses beamed up at her, drying her tears.
"We have listened to the earth while we were forced underground," they told her. "We assure you that Kay is not down here. He is still alive on this earth."
Gerda gasped at the news. She must get out of here as quickly as possible. Gerda could hear Agatha calling her name in the distance.
"Run!"
cried the roses.
"Wait! Listen to me!"
called the hyacinths.
"Wait, but listen to me!"
begged the tiger lily. Gerda tried to listen to all of the flowers' stories. They each were telling her something important, where she should go, hints about Kay's whereabouts, and most of all, not to trust Agatha. All the talking at once made her head spin.
Gerda!
She heard Agatha call her name in the distance. She had to get out of here. She knew that much. Gerda sprinted as fast as she could, leaves and branches whipping her legs. The gate was locked. Gerda was starting to panic. She hurriedly climbed the fence, getting splinters in her fingers and skinning her knees, but she never looked back. Gerda landed hard on the other side of the fence. The wind practically knocked out of her. She sprinted away from the cottage and into the forest. She ran and ran until she collapsed in a heap on the forest floor. As she caught her breath, a cold wind whipped her face. Odd, the wind was never this cold in springtime. Wait, it wasn't just the wind. It was actually much colder than she realized. Gerda looked up and a golden leaf fluttered down in front of her. She picked it up in horror. She looked around the canopy of trees. All of the leaves were brown, and some had already lost their leaves entirely. Gerda had thought she'd only been at Agatha's one day, but no, it was now autumn. Gerda had been gone for months. She didn't know where she was, and surely everyone must think she was dead. And if she couldn't find her way out of this, they would be right. Gerda's quest to save Kay will pick up again right after this. Now back to the story. Gerda had been wandering in the chilly autumn weather for days and was losing hope. One afternoon, she crossed paths with a raven who was eager to chat with her. Gerda looked up. He seemed to have important news. He could not speak her language very well, but it was clear he wanted to help the poor little girl all alone in the woods.
"Have you seen Kay?"
Gerda asked. The raven said that perhaps he had. He had seen a boy that matched Kay's description with the terrifying, cold-hearted princess from a faraway land. Gerda frowned. She wanted to know more about this mysterious princess, but the raven said that another princess, Princess Mira, would know the most. Mira was clever and knew all the news of the world. Gerda didn't know if she could trust this bird, but what choice did she have? She sighed and followed the raven to another unknown place with unknown people. But Kay was still alive, and she wasn't going to return home without him. The raven led Gerda to a magnificent palace. Gerda had never seen such an enormous place. She felt as if she had traveled into another world. Princess Mira and Prince Gregor greeted her warmly. They instantly noted Gerda's bedraggled appearance, scraped and dirty, and bathed the young, terrified girl. They dressed her in the finest silks and velvets. Gerda dined with them, and they listened to her story of how she was searching for her friend and how she had been put under a spell by a witch in a cottage for months. They took pity on her, and Gerda rested with them for a week. During that time, she grew quite accustomed to the fine things. She thought of her own humble life with her grandmother and felt a little guilty that she was having such a wonderful time here. She knew she had to go soon. Mira and Gregor gave her a royal carriage with horses, a footman and a driver to help Gerda journey onward safely. As they said goodbye to Gerda, they wept, and Gerda wept too. These people had saved her, and she had grown to love them. She didn't want to say goodbye, but Kay came first. As Gerda made her way north into the cold lands, she felt like a lonely little princess wrapped in warm clothes, headed into the land of permanent winter. She grew lost in her thoughts, almost dozing off. when suddenly the carriage came to an abrupt halt. Gerda had to get out of there. She flung the door open and almost tripped over a dead body, her driver. His throat had been slit, and there was blood everywhere. Gerda almost slipped in it. She grabbed the door to steady herself. Her footman was dead, too. In the cold, frost was already glazing over his bloody face. Gerda turned to run, but ran smack into a nasty-looking older woman who was missing a tooth. The woman smiled a sinister smile. Behind her, several men were raiding the carriage of everything of value.
"Well, looky here."
The woman waved a bloody dagger, clearly drunk.
"She looks well fed, and look at those pretty little diamond earrings. Let's cut the rich girl up and enjoy those delicious rosy cheeks."
Suddenly, a young robber girl came out of the trees, wiry and agile. She jumped on the woman's back, biting the woman's ear. The toothless woman howled in pain and dropped the dagger.
"No, mother, I want her."
The robber girl's beady little eyes sized up Gerda.
"I want to wear her mink muff and have her sleep in bed with me at night. We shall be the best of friends."
The strange little girl bit her toothless mother again, but this time because she was so excited at the thought of having Gerda as some sort of pet. This made the whole group of bandits laugh, and Gerda smiled nervously, trying to act like she was part of the gang. The group returned to stripping the carriage of all its value, and the robber girl approached Gerda.
"I'm Anne. Are you a princess?"
she asked.
"No,"
Gerda responded, and told her the entire story of her journey thus far. As she detailed her adventures, she could see the robber girl listen to her with some sympathy, as if she were an actual friend. But Gerda wasn't Anne's friend. Anne's mother tied Gerda up, and they dragged her back to their home, deep in the snowy woods. It was a dark, rough place, large and cavernous, with exposed beams on the ceiling. Crows and ravens made nests above and flew about at night like black shadows. The toothless woman shoved Gerda roughly into a small room with Anne. Anne was clearly taken with Gerda, but couldn't seem to decide if she wanted to love her or murder her. One second she'd play with Gerda's hair. The next she'd poke Gerda with the point of her knife, never fully breaking the skin. Anne kept Gerda tied up in her simple straw bed and made her tell the story of Kay again. She got a dreamy, faraway look every time Gerda told it, but if Gerda moved too much, Anne would get irritable and threaten her.
"I will slice you with my knife if you do that again,"
Anne warned, dragging it slowly across Gerda's neck. Gerda regarded her nervously.
"Do you always sleep with your knife?"
"Aye, I do."
Gerda didn't know how long she would be forced to live like this, but she was grateful that Anne was allowing her to live. She couldn't fall asleep that night and was too scared to even shut her eyes. One of the ravens descended from his nest high in the ceiling while Gerda lay awake. He whispered in her ear,
"Your friend is with the queen in the frozen land to the north."
He disappeared back above before Gerda could speak further with him. In the morning, Anne turned to Gerda.
"I've been moved by your story. I dreamt about it all night, and it has filled my heart with sadness. You must go save your friend."
Gerda's eyes welled with tears. She was going to be set free.
"My mother drinks from the bottle all day, and in the afternoon she falls asleep. I can let you out then,"
Anne said. Sure enough, the toothless woman drank her way through the day, becoming agitated and yelling at Anne until she passed out. The sun was still bright in the sky. Anne grabbed Gerda roughly and stared at her, as if reconsidering. But Goethe had truly warmed the heart of the robber girl. Anne cut her loose. Goethe rubbed her sore wrists, chafed and raw from being tied up. Anne quickly went to the barn and got one of their reindeer for Goethe.
"Are we best friends now, Princess Goethe?"
Anne leaned in for a hug.
"Yes, Princess Anne,"
she whispered quickly and hopped on the reindeer and waved, hoping the girl had felt some love for the first time in her life. Goethe made her way north. Meanwhile, Kay sat inside the frozen walls of the Ice Queen's palace day and night. He stared off in a daze, turning blue, but not feeling any cold as the Ice Queen often returned to kiss his shivers away. But he was a shell of the boy he once was. He no longer had the strength to be mean. He was indifferent, cold.
"Goodbye, Kay," the Ice Queen said to him. "I'm going to visit warmer lands for a few days. I shall be sprinkling them with my snow bees and spreading icy chills into their homes. No summer for them."
Kay just blinked at the frozen pond in a trance. The queen left. She was satisfied her little pet would stay put. As the queen headed south in her sleigh, she just missed Goethe and her reindeer. Goethe trudged forward, losing strength. Just as she thought she would never find Kay, a frozen, spiked wonderland loomed in front of them. She had to blink to believe what she was seeing. She had made it. She slipped off the animal and made her way up to the ice palace. Goethe pushed the heavy doors open.
"Hello?"
she called out in the massive entryway. Goethe tiptoed into the cavernous hallways of perfectly chiseled ice. It nearly took her breath away.
"Kay?"
she called out. Her voice echoed. She didn't want to attract the attention of the queen, so she stopped yelling and decided to poke around the hallways. Finally, she entered the center of the palace, an open hall surrounding a pristine pond, iced over with fractals of massive snowflakes. It was an incredible sight to behold. And on the far end, she saw a statue of a boy. How odd, she thought to herself. She made her way over to it. As she got closer, she thought that the face looked familiar. It was Kay! Goethe ran, almost slipping on the icy floors.
"Kay!"
she cried out, falling on top of him, hugging him tightly. But the boy barely reacted. His lips were blue. His eyes didn't show any recognition of his old friend. He just blinked passively. She shook him. Goethe smacked him across the face, even though she felt a little bad about hitting him. Still nothing.
"Oh, Kay, what happened to you?"
Goethe sobbed. Kay was frozen. She could hear a faint heartbeat, but he may as well have been dead. How had her friend become this? Goethe pushed her face into his chest, her tears soaking into his shirt. As Goethe cried into Kay's shirt, suddenly his chest softened and his heart melted. Kay blinked as he noticed Goethe for the first time.
"Goethe, what are you doing here? How did I get here?"
And suddenly, he burst into tears too. And as the tears unleashed from his eyes, a tiny sliver of an icicle shard slipped out of his eye and landed on the ground.
"I've been looking everywhere for you,"
Goethe smiled. Kay wiped his tears and looked down at Goethe, truly seeing her for the first time in years. His heart warmed and he smiled. He noticed the sharp icicles and terrifying reflecting pool. He couldn't recall what had happened, but the pang of misery he felt looking around the palace was enough of a clue. Goethe had saved him from sheer horror. He hugged her again.
"Let's go home,"
Gerda said. Kay nodded, grateful.
I love you, Gerda. I am so sorry.
I love you too, Kay.
They wiped their tears and left the Snow Queen's palace for their own rosy neighborhood. Once home, they tried to explain what they had been through, but it was too much for their families to believe. A little boy's heart frozen by a snowflake? A little girl bringing him back to life with just her tears? It sounded like a fairy tale to them. In every version of the Snow Queen, the themes are the same. Isolation only freezes us and zaps our spirit, and sincere, unconditional love can melt even the hardest of hearts. The tale also stands as a unique example of feminism for the day. A girl is the victorious hero who overcomes the odds and the icy landscapes internally and externally to save the day. It's these enduring themes that keep this story fresh, not frozen. Thanks for listening to Tales. If you want to listen to more episodes of Tales or Parcast podcasts, you can find all of Parcast's podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, CastBox, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast directory. Some listeners have been asking how to help the show. Well, if you enjoy the show, the best way to do that is to leave a 5-star review. Join me in 2 weeks for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler. It is a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Ron Shapiro, with production assistance by Paul Mahler. Additional production assistance by Maggie Admeyer and Carly Madden. Tales is written by Gina Machusek. I'm Vanessa Richardson.